You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Here, good looking Tuesday morning, 57 in Green Bay, 55 in Appleton, 55 in Oshkosh. High today, mid-70s and mostly cloudy. It is our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Milwaukee Brewer Club level tickets or $100 in cash. Plus, every entry puts you into one of the grand prize drawings of a Wisconsin Dells area vacation or Door County vacation.
All right, so this keyword is tan. T-A-N, tan. So just download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores, choose WISS or WGBW, and use the text button to send the keyword tan for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
And this hour, you're playing for $100 cash, and the keyword again is tan, T-A-N. You've got till the end of the hour. Good luck. Text in. And again, every time you text, you get a chance to win, and you help Jim and John.
Right.
Come on, we can
and we
use,
need it.
Yeah, come
we
on.
We need it. We
help
haven't won
out.
Yet.
All we do for you people.
Right. We're competing with other Civic Media radio stations.
Come
and
on.
We always come in second. Yeah. And we're not like in second.
You're lucky if you're second.
All right. What? Didn't need that, Todd. Didn't need that. Not in front of company.
Wow.
We got Lori Kniesbeck
and
Lutia Vanderveld in here. New Leaf Foods. And I just love your mission statement. The goal of the event is to address the concerns of our community as they relate to climate change, our food system, and policy to empower people with the tools to create change. Clean Water, Action Council of Northeast Wisconsin, FoodWise, NWTC, Green Bay Citizens Climate Lobby, NW Northeast Wisconsin, Bird Alliance, Slow Farmers Co-op, Community Water Coalition. You're bringing all these people together for a very good cause, and I think you guys need not only just a pat on the back, but you need a little bit of a boost publicity-wise because this is such an important thing that you're doing, and you're doing it from a grassroots level. So Lauren and Lutia, thanks both for being here, and tell us what is going on.
Yeah, I mean, Lutia, do you want to take it away from here? I know you're the main event organizer, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was doing an AmeriCorps term of service with New Leaf Foods, focusing on education and outreach. And so when I started my term in January, that's when the idea of having a roundtable like this was brought up. And so it's something that New Leaf has wanted to do for quite a while, just bringing the community together to talk about food. And so, yeah, in January is when this all really got started. And we knew that we wanted to not just talk about food, but make sure that we are bringing attention to other things that fit in with the New Leaf mission as well. And so that's where the idea of climate came in, and then later on policy. And we want attendees to walk away not just learning about these things, but having actionable things to do afterwards. So we don't want to just right. bring them problems. Mm-hmm. We also want them to be able to walk away with solutions.
And you know, I see one thing here Jim talks about. It's one of your things here is the Eat Lancet Planetary Diet, Food Waste and Climate Change. Jim always says, we don't have a food issue. We've got a supply issue.
Distribution.
Distribution.
We don't have a supply issue. We got a distribution issue. And this climate change, when you talk about that, that's affecting certain groups of food, right? Tell me about the climate change, because you're going to spend some time on that and how that's affecting our food supply.
Yeah, so that is something that Slow Farmers Co-op will be going more into, but they will be talking about the effects of climate change on different crops and growing,
right.
and how with the way that the climate is changing, it's affecting everything from water to soil to the quality of food. So that is definitely something that we're going to get that farmer input on how climate change affects that. And we'll also be getting a little bit of input into how climate change also affects like food distribution and things like that. So that's something that we will get more into with the FoodWise aspect of it, where they will be talking a bit more about food insecurity and climate change.
So people are going to come to this. They're going to learn a lot. But I really like the fact that you're going to give them not a to-do list, but an action plan when they leave. Like, what are some of the things that will be on the action plan, do you think? I mean, I know you haven't had the meeting yet, but mm-hmm. what are you envisioning?
So we are asking roundtable We're asking the roundtable speakers to have action items to come with them that they can share at their tables. So that is something that each speaker will be able to bring to their own table. And then kind of what we see for the most part, will definitely be the policy aspect. So being in touch with your state representatives and letting them know, like, this is what we want to see in Wisconsin. Like, we want to support these sort of food and climate initiatives. We also see people just getting more organized, more involved in their communities. So these are the things that are happening right here in Green Bay and Brown County in Northeast Wisconsin. And this is what you can do to help. This is how you can be involved. And also, like, the Eat Lancet diet, like, here are things that you can do as an individual on your own diet level that you can do to support the climate right now.
That's awesome. And I want to talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this. But before, I want to add, I think it's really important that this, at this seminar, this roundtable that you're having, that policy is brought up and that you work with the governments. But we do that a lot. John does a lot of things with the government for policies for the veterans. You know, we're trying to lobby a little bit for these tiny homes, and I do some things for the homeless. I think there should be some things that are different, and they're very active, and you can do it locally here, city, county, but, you know, the state is very receptive to new ideas. I think they are, but that'd be interesting to see what kind of things you come up with. Besides, I'm sure there's going to be things with I don't know how much you get into hold the runoff in the water, what happens with some of the pollution things. I think it's more
that's probably part of this, right? I mean, I think you saw that on the agenda here.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's important stuff.
But Lauren, explain your role in all this and where the passion comes from, because that's always the key. That's the number one thing we always want, not just a job. Where's the passion come from?
Yeah, so my role, obviously, you know, communications coordinator, is to try to get the word out as much as possible. So thanks for having us today, first of all.
Glad to have you.
And yeah, the passion for me is, you know, I might not be the most knowledgeable person on the New Leaf team when it comes to the actual science behind climate change and, like, you know, making decisions about what you can do as an individual and, you know, in your community. But I definitely want to do anything I can to, like, push the message so that, you know, I myself, if I was just a member of the community, this is something that I would be super interested in, because not only am I, like, a foodie, I care about our planet, you know, and I try to be aware and active in the community, like, know what's going on. So I guess that's where my passion comes from, is just kind of this sort of this caringness about the planet and, like, the future of our food.
How is the Northeast Wisconsin region with something like this? Because, you know, we're talking about some of the cool areas to live in, like Boulder, Colorado. I could see this being huge. You know, someplace in Oregon, I could see it being huge. But we're such a meat and potatoes kind of place here. Mm-hmm. How is it received around this area?
I would say you're right with, we are kind of, I guess, more traditional in the way that you would think about diets and just, like, farming and things like that. But there are also, like, a ton of little, I don't want to say little because they're mighty, little but mighty community partners that we have that are all invited to this. And just, you know, I was just with Wello recently, and they were awarded a huge funding opportunity that only
Robert Wood Johnson.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's only, like, less than 10 organizations throughout the U.S. are awarded it. So we do have some force here in Northeast Wisconsin. Oh, cool. For things, you know, food insecurity, climate concerns, things like that, for sure.
Yeah, they've been on here, and I was pleased that they got that. They work hard. They're very active. But, Wello is a very broad brush, and I think they'll be a good partner with you, because they kind of want to do everything with food, health, wellness for the community. Yeah.
But I like the fact that even, like, the splinter organizations, if you want to call it that, like they did, like even the people we had on from the plant type things and growing, where you could go and pick, you know, they're really trying to encourage people to grow a lot of their own stuff. You know, that's a big factor with this, isn't it? I mean, you guys try to really advocate for that.
Oh, yeah. And, like, definitely that's going to be part of New Leaf's presentation. Our president, Lynn Walter, is going to be our speaker, and she's going to talk about, you know, our projects that we have that are going to be, in a way, like, our actionable items for people, as you can learn more about the orchard project that we have. You know, I've talked about Bountiful Branches with you guys before. Oh, yeah. And yeah, growing your own. So,
okay, you really lit a spark with him. You know that,
I
right?
I know.
He won't stop talking about that.
No, that's...
He wants to build his own orchard.
Good. That means I did my job.
In the city. I live in the hood. It's going to be cool. I got a lot next to me, and different trees. Yeah,
right. In the hood, right?
Half a million dollar four-story house.
But it's going to be great, though.
Okay. Eight-car garage.
Right next. Yeah. Oh, it is not. And next door, though, I think that would be good for my grandkids, too, to come out and see different.
Absolutely.
Like, everybody knows we can, you know, cherry trees and apple trees, but there's other things that we can grow here that I think two of each, and I think, you know, they can have little picnics in there. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. What? I really want to do that. I mean, it's a decent-sized lot, so.
Yeah, well, you should definitely make use of it.
Oh,
yeah.
I think it'd be so much fun. What are you laughing about? I think it'd be fun.
I think the picnics line took me out.
With the kids, you see them under the, like, pear tree having a little picnic, mm-hmm. you know, at Grandpa's place? I think it's awesome.
Remember the bees, though, Jim.
Oh, yeah,
remember
the bees. That's true.
Remember that whole pollination thing that last time you were here?
Lucy, you weren't here. They didn't know that everything needs to be pollinated.
Oh. Yeah, so that was a learning moment.
We
teaching
learned
moment,
quite a bit about
that.
Every time we have you guys on,
it's
we
like,
learn
wow,
a lot.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what New Leaf is here for.
I didn't know that.
Well, New, how long has New Leaf been around, and who started it? Who decided that this area needs something like this?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Well, New Leaf's been around since 2011.
Okay.
They started out as a food co-op, so they were looking to open a co-op grocery store right here in downtown.
Okay.
And the nonprofit was sort of created alongside of the co-op, and so the co-op failed, but the nonprofit continued on. So it's been around for about 14 years, and I do believe that Lynn has been the president the entire time.
I don't think she was the one who initially started it, but mm-hmm. someone, and I can't remember who this is, but someone reached out to Lynn. She had just retired, and they were like, "Hey, like, you're free now. You're retired. Can you help us, you know, get this up and running?" Mm-hmm. And she's been with us ever since. So she's been, I guess, semi-retired this entire year.
You know, those food co-ops, they sound like such a fantastic idea, but they're mm-hmm. tough to thrive, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
But they can work, too. I just want to say there, mm-hmm. I was part of that. And mm-hmm. it's too bad that didn't work, but, you know, they sold memberships, mm-hmm. you know, because you need that. Yep. You need some seed money to get that thing going. And a lot of people volunteer, but for food. And that was maybe she was ahead of her time to do that here in Green Bay. But, you know, Nashville, they're very successful. Milwaukee has a really good one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they can't happen. Anyway, I think it's good that they took the other piece of that and are doing what you do and more on the education side of things.
Maybe it's time again, because Oshkosh has a very good food co-op downtown, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's time. Maybe you said 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do they do differently, Todd? I mean, why is that one so successful?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. Maybe it's because it opened a little bit later. It was in the last couple of years that opened. But I think there's probably enough community support for something like that now that maybe we should try that again.
And I think you need to have the site. I think it was just a concept. And to give money to a concept is, if you really want it, you'll do that. But if they would say, look, here's the site, I just think they maybe the cart before the horse a little bit. But I think Todd's right. I think people in here, you know, just look at our farmer's market. Not that that's a barometer, but boy, those things are just
huge.
Yeah. It is. It's huge. Unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that, you know, some people.
It's not dissimilar.
No.
I mean, the idea.
No. Yeah. No.
And, well, I'm excited for the Broadway market whenever that opens. So.
So are we?
Yeah.
They've been on here too.
Because that's one of their big focus things is something like this with co-op being a part of it. Mm-hmm. So, but again, these are great ideas, but boy, there's just that fine line between being really successful, like Oshkosh, or not making it here. Yeah. There almost seems to be no in between.
Yeah.
And some of these things, if you start too big, that's more difficult.
You bite off more than you can chew.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're very supportive of what's going on Broadway, but we think that's.
That would definitely be worth, I think, discussing with, you know, our board and seeing the future of New Leaf, ultimately what we want our next, I guess, mission to be.
Well, to partner with the public market is a really good idea. Very successful in Milwaukee, but as you know, that thing, you know, went under a couple times before it got successful. Mm-hmm. Those are tough things to do, but
Still need that. You mentioned seed money. You got to have that. You can't be rubbing two nickels together every week. Yeah.
No.
That's the key.
But anyway, that's going to be great someday.
What if they put it in your name? Would you sponsor it?
I'm good.
You sure?
That's funny.
I'll be a customer. We'll talk. I got my own little orchard, man.
Lauren and Latia, New Leaf Foods, back right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Summer, summer, summer. All right, let's do it again. The Scotty Summer Text to Win contest is on right now, and this hour's keyword is tan, T-A-N, tan. If you don't have the Civic Media app, download that right now in the Apple or Google Play stores. Choose your station, WISS or WGBW. Use the text button to send the keyword TAN for your chance to win in the statewide contest this hour. You are playing for $100 and also going into the drawing to win those vacations. Wisconsin Dells Area Vacation, Door County Vacation. Good luck. You've got till the end of the hour to text the word TAN. Once again, here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Lauren Kniesbeck and Lutia Vandervelde in New Leaf Foods, Climate, Food, and Policy Roundtable. And Lutia, I give you credit, being a native of Dallas and moving up here to Green Bay, and you're staying loyal to your fellas down there in Texas.
I am. Even though some days it can be a little hard to be a Cowboys fan.
We went through that here, too, though, so hang in there.
But you know what's funny is when Coach McCarthy was there, I was like a big Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
yeah.
But it's like I really pulled for him so much that that's a tough gig down there with Jerry Jones and everything, isn't it?
I don't want to say too much about it, but indeed, I would say yes, it is.
Who's more passionate, Packer fans or Cowboy fans?
Well, but that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
You guys are America's team. You got the most.
Yeah.
People love the Cowboys, but boy, you've had a dry spell.
Yes. Yeah.
And longer than when you think, well, it wasn't that long ago that you guys won, but it was a long time ago.
It's been a while. Well, I mean, my favorite Cowboys player of all time was Jason Witten, and he never got a ring. And so that's something that I take personally, to be honest. So.
Right. But I would agree that your ownership is significantly different than ours,
yes,
right? And
than
anybody's, really. And after the games, all the press conferences, they go to Jerry Jones. What other team goes to the GM? You know, they usually go to the coach or, you know, but I don't know. He's Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I mean,
I hope you do well. I like the stadium, and I have friends down there. I've gone to a few games, but anyway, we're still going to work on you, though. Don't think we're going to let you off the hook. You know, we will still try to convert you. So this thing is coming up on the 14th. You have this educational seminar on that you're sponsoring. It has a lot to do with food supply, the climate change. So many great speakers coming in.
Yes.
And what I like about this, and I want to talk a little bit more about who you want to attend. But the fact that they're going to leave with something to do, and I think that's really important.
And then one other thing I want to talk about is the two community orchards going up in Bellevue.
Oh, yeah.
So go ahead. Take it away.
True.
So if we're going to talk about the orchards, that's tomorrow actually going up.
Yep. 10 o'clock, Moonrise Park.
Yep, he's got it. So we're actually looking for anyone who wants to help, like, install those trees. You are totally welcome
Jim,
to come.
This would be perfect for you for your
orchard. Yeah, you can
learn.
Yeah. Yeah. What time? No, I am really interested in that I got to tell you, when we were in here, that was a while ago, but I didn't know we could grow all those trees in Green Bay. I'll be honest with you.
I didn't either. I thought they were like Texas or Florida or California things.
Right. I knew everybody knows apple trees, right? Because everybody had those when they were a kid. But I just, 4 or 5 different types of trees here in Green Bay, I think that's like really cool.
Yeah, so I guess, if you wanted to come tomorrow, you can see more trees that we're going to install. But
what are you planting tomorrow? And what do you need?
Tomorrow is the Village of Bellevue Parks, Rec, and Forestry is more in charge of the trees being installed, so we don't even know what we're installing.
Okay.
But, you know, it'll be a nice handful of trees at each park. And the second park, Bethel Edible Forest, they're going to talk about, you know, their mission for that park in the future because they're trying to build what I would imagine is similar to our like Seymour Park Food Forest,
but
in the Village of Bellevue. So
it's tomorrow, beginning at 10 o'clock, yep. Moonrise Park, Moonrise Court in Bellevue, and then the Village of Bellevue Parks, Rec, and Forestry Department are coming together to install both of them. But they are looking for volunteers, right, for both Moonrise Park and the Bellevue Park. Correct.
Yep.
Okay. So the trees we plant.
Or Bethel Park.
Bethel Park.
Yeah. The trees we plant tomorrow, when we'll be able to eat fruit off of them? 2 years, 3 years?
You know, that's probably a question for the Village of Bellevue, but I would say usually the nurseries that we get these plants from, they don't, you know, grow them all the way till they can, you know, become fruit bearing because it's just a lot of money put in to raise them for 5+ years. So they usually raise them before they're able to bear fruit. So I would say probably like a few years. Lutia, I don't know if you have anything to say on that as well.
I'm going to go. I'm going to find that out because that's interesting to me. I don't want to plant the tree and have it not.
Yeah, but you can see how they do it because there's a technique to planting.
And, my,
and also the more mature the tree is, the more expensive it's going to be.
Yeah.
So if you can have like a little trust in the process and get it earlier when it's more of like a seedling or, you know, something smaller, it's going to be more affordable too.
I'm not going to wait five, six years.
He doesn't have He's no pick. Then on June 14th from 9 to 1 is your big meet. Go ahead once again, talk with us. NWTC Great Lakes Energy Education Center, 2701 Larson Road in Green Bay. People, do you want them to reserve a spot or to register? Okay, go ahead and talk with those if you don't mind.
Yes, so you can go to the Newly Foods website and navigate to our events page, and you can register there. You could also go to our Instagram and go to the link in our bio and register there. So yeah, we do want you to register. You unfortunately missed the deadline to be able to have lunch when you register, so you can just register for no lunch.
So it's $10.
$10. Still a really good time to learn about the food, climate, and policy things.
Although I'm surprised what you're serving for lunch until I read the whole thing. You're having a taco bar.
Yes, taco bar.
But talk about all local producers.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why the deadline for food was also kind of pushed up for us, is because they're smaller, you know, more locally sourced things, so they need to know ahead of time.
Well, I think that food co-op thing is still something to kind of look
think
at
about
one more
for
time.
The future.
I really do.
Because there's successful ones, like it's just Oshkosh. There's not a huge difference between Green
there's
Bay
no
and
reason for it not
right.
to work here.
Same kind.
But again, you got to get that big sponsor or something to have that seed money.
Jim can step up.
Absolutely.
I got the orchard I got to take care of. Let me do that first.
I got to harvest.
I'm gonna note that down.
Please do.
She said it's going to cost me money because I want those trees to bear fruit like in a year or two. I'm not going to wait 6-7 years till my kids
are in
high school.
You better get them planted now, Jim.
I know.
So
that's exactly what she's telling me. I'm going to go tomorrow. I will be there at 10 o'clock. I want to see that.
Yeah, you should be. I'll be there.
Take some pictures.
Yeah, well, that's going to be fun. We'll talk about that.
That'll be awesome. I'll tell you what, they sure got two great spokes. Person
between
you two.
Awesome.
You guys are fantastic.
Well, thanks for having us.
Anytime. Glad to support you.
Come back and tell us how the seminar went and then update us on this orchard thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Lauren and Lutia. Lutia is a Dallas Cowboys fan. Just throwing that out there for us.
Not letting you off.
Throwing it out there. Yeah. Back after this.
So keep it up. Quench my desire. And I'll be at your side.
Summer. All right, let's do it. The Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All the details with John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, that's right. It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win statewide contest. Your daily chance to win a pair of Brewer Club level tickets or $100 in cash. Plus, every entry puts you into one of our grand drawings of a Wisconsin Dells area vacation or Door County vacation.
So this hour's keyword is TAN. T-A-N. TAN. So just download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Choose WISS or WGBW and use the text button to send in the keyword TAN for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
This hour, you're playing for $100. You got till the end of the hour to text in the word TAN. Good luck from Mino and the Mayor.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Welcome back. You know, I love local authors, love what they do. I'm one of them, and it's a tough gig, but it's a very satisfying gig. And we got an old friend, Spike Patterson, an author extraordinaire. Good morning, Spike. How are you?
Morning, John. Man, it's been a while. Good to hear your voice again.
Now, I was your best customer. I was your most frequent customer for about 6 years when you ran a great little hardware store in Alloway, correct?
Yes. That was a fun time.
I miss a store like that so much, Spike, where you could walk in and everybody that works there has like done whatever project you're working on and you need this kind of a widget for the whatever. And you guys you'd have the bins and you guys would know exactly where to go. And you just don't have those places anymore, huh, Spike?
Not so much, you know. Actually, it was easier than you thought because we got asked the same 20 questions every day. So we only had to be an expert in 20 ways.
Right. It was always like my wife even used to give me a hard time. How many trips are you going to make to Spike before this one's done? Because that was the key, man. You guys would always know where to go and what you had. And I love those little places. Well, tell me about your career now in post-retirement, I guess, as an author.
Yeah, we're living in the Wisconsin Rapids now, doing the retired life. Whenever we get bored, we hit the road, try to do some traveling. We were just up in Door County a couple days ago, and we went to Lolo's Food Truck, has a wonderful food. We went to the Third Avenue Players and saw a wonderful play called Buyer and Seller. It was hilarious. But other than that, I try to stay home, mow the lawn, and write.
So when I write, a lot of times it's in weird, like I'll write from like 3 till 5 in the morning at times because there's nothing else to do and you can totally focus. Do you find that way? I mean, you got to be kind of disciplined to really be a writer, don't you, Spike?
Yes, really, really have to be disciplined. Although I find myself not being normal in that way. I like to write when I go to a public place like a coffee shop so I can watch people. I put on my earphones and I pound music in my head because that kind of occupies 2/3 of my brain. So now my creativity can be uninterrupted. So I think I'm different than that, but that's the way I do it. Yeah, and I try and do that afternoons after we have our slow start because we're retired.
Everybody has a different way, but you got to get into that groove to really make progress, correct?
Yes, you sure do. Discipline is number one. I need to work on that yet.
So do I, trust me. Jim, you got discipline.
that writing, I have a daughter who just, that's what she does. She writes, she's a publisher, she lives out east now. It's great. I'm really proud of what she's doing, but she works with you, with authors, and they're all a little bit different in terms of their style, yet they're all like really interesting people, super nice, creative people, and she really enjoys working with different people. What is your, like, what do you love to write about the most out of all the things that are out there?
Well, you know, I'm a guy who likes to write adventure stories, and I like to do that type of thing. But my stories are not totally based in just an adventure, but that's what gets me up in the morning and says, wow, let's do something that's really exciting. And, you know, I pick up a lot of these by observing people, just a little scene, somebody walking down the street, a child playing with a toy, and that's what pops something in my head to make that work. And one of them is my wife, Nancy. She's really my muse. She'll do things like start squirt gun wars in our living room, things like that. And that I take in the night. As soon as I'm done being sodden by the squirt gun wars, I rush over to my laptop and I start putting down words.
That's what I mean. You're a creative writer. Talk about your most recent book, Spike.
Well, my most recent book, the one that I'm wanting to talk about today, is called Secrets of Hanalei Bay. And I can tell you a little bit about it.
Yeah, please do. You go right ahead.
Okay. This all started when I was riding my motorcycle down the street in my neighborhood, and I see a bunch of smoke billowing up into the sky. So, you know, I'm a guy. I'm going to go rubberneck. So I go over to where the smoke is coming from, and there I see a woman standing outside her burning condo in her nightgown, barefoot, and nothing left to her name. Now, that got me started down this road, and my book begins there with that scene. It's a mystery thriller set on the lush island of Kauai. My protagonist, Chloe, flees to Hanalei Bay to escape her old life. But instead of finding peace, she stumbles into danger, ancient secrets, and a twisted plot that could affect the fate of the world. Between Chloe's missteps and the men who tear at her emotions and for their own gain, Chloe is kidnapped and betrayed. Will she make the right choice? Is the fate of the ultimate weapon in her hands? Or is it just an illusion paraded over her by heroes and madmen? And what of this magic she seems to possess?
Wow. All right. And it's all from your mind.
Yeah, wow. That's whoever wrote.
Yes, every bit of it, except for the woman that I saw outside her burning condo, came from my imagination.
That's incredible.
What you just read or recited, those jacket covers, I would buy that book.
I agree.
That was. And that is
important to be honest.
That is. That's what my daughter does. Yeah. She writes these jacket covers, and it's like, you know, that will get you to buy or not buy the book.
Will she write it for my next book? The jacket cover?
She doesn't.
Well,
work
that was
with,
a resounding no.
She doesn't work with the newbies anymore.
Okay,
sorry, John.
Wow.
She'd probably do it for you. I'd ask.
Spike,
I'd ask
that's got to be fun.
That's
to create
great.
A person in your mind, a character in your mind.
And
yes,
I get
characters out of nowhere.
Right. You creative writers are just a special breed of writers.
They truly are.
We have people that write on travel. They've been in here. We've had people that write poetry. They've been in here. But that creative writing really just. Maybe you don't even know where it's going to go.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the fun part of writing. You know, when I start, I have a story and I do a really, really rough outline that I don't even bother to spell check or put punctuation in. And then I take that and I start writing it, but that's not where I'm going. The story takes over And the story leads you down the path. And it's just this pure discovery. And it's great. And that's the part I love. It's except for when it doesn't work and doesn't come out in finished form.
Wow. We're at Spike Pedersen, author. What's the name of your most recent book, Spike?
Secrets of Hanalei Bay.
Okay.
So, Spike, I mean, you ran a hardware store successfully. You then moved
great
to the
Rapids. Great hardware store. Spike's Hardware and Alloy, right on
this,
Libel.
Did you always do this when you were a little kid? Did you write grade school, high school?
No, I didn't. Actually, what really got me into the writing bug is that when I was in the hardware store, I was writing a weekly column for the Green Bay Press Gazette.
I remember that, yep.
And it was about hardware and home repair, which is really, really dry. So I had to find a way to inject some humor and still get the message across. And so that's where I found it fun, and that's what got me started on the writing path. And after the store was gone, I started writing, and I wrote my first book at First Light, and now I'm on to my second one.
What advice would you give to anybody? Because I think it's one of those things everybody wants to do it, don't really know how to approach it, and I'm not sure if there is any one set-in-stone way to approach it. What advice would you give, Spike, from doing this from the grassroots level to anybody out there listening that says, I think I've got a book inside my head, not sure how to bring it out?
Well, that's a really good question, and I talk to a lot of people about this. You know, most people have some kind of a book in their head, and the first thing you have to do is just sit down and write a few words down about it and then develop it more and think about it. But, you know, they always say, write what you know. I say, don't do that. Write who you are. And be brave, and don't worry about exposing yourself. Expose thyself, and you will be successful.
Are there people in your books, are there characters in your book that are based on you?
No. I'm way too boring for that. I've never had a character that I'd based on me, although there are probably some parts of me in every character.
But how about people you've met in life? Does anybody read your book and say, are you talking about me in there?
Yeah.
Well, mine is a collaboration of several people that make a character generally.
I see.
I do have one person in my first book that it was all about them, that person was, he was unique, and I felt that person made a good character, and so I just wrote that character as if I was having a conversation with him. But that's the only time. Other than that, everybody is fictional.
So when you start when you sit down to write that book, do you have an outline knowing exactly the directions it's going to go and how it's going to end, or does it develop as you're writing?
I have a really, really rough outline. First, it's an idea in my head for a long time. Then I write down 10 paragraphs of 10 words each, just as take me a direction. And then I start putting words on paper, and then it just kind of pops out from there. Like I said, the story takes over, and that's really the fun part.
See, I love like stories based, from local writers, because you know some of the things that are coming into their writing is part of our experiences of living around here. And I know yours is based in Hawaii on this one, but I like it when people can take certain aspects of their life, and even though they're giving it to a fictional character, it really finds a way to bring that character to life that you can relate to. I like those kind of characters, Spike. I got a feeling you do too.
I do. As a matter of fact, though, I start this book in Door County, Wisconsin.
Okay.
My main character grew up there, had her children there, and once she's done with raising her kids, she realizes that she never got the shot in life that she wants. And so then she decides she's going to sell everything, move to Hawaii. She bought a car. She bought a condo. She bought everything she needed. And 2 weeks later, the condo burnt down, and she was left barefoot in her nightgown.
And
nothing in her life.
And that's the hook you got from actually seeing a woman in that situation.
I did. I did see that exact situation.
I do, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's just that you're pulling it all together. Yeah, this... You really, really enjoy this.
You can hear it in your voice, Spike.
So how does it go? Tell me about the writing we've talked about. The whole marketing, the business side, getting it out there. Is that a struggle, or is there the platform for you, new authors or novice authors?
Yes. As hard as it is to produce a book and get it done, finish it, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
The hard part is marketing it. And boy, that's really hard. And there's thousands of authors like me out there trying to get their book marketed, getting people to know it. And I'm so glad, so grateful that you guys asked me to come on, because marketing is the hard part. And I wish I would hire someone to do it, but no. That costs money.
Yeah, well, it's better coming from you. Just our only advice is call Oprah Winfrey. She
get her on the book club.
You think she ever gets sent a book?
Spike, how can people get your book?
It's on Amazon. Secrets of Hanalei Bay will be available June 16th. Ooh. My first book, At First Light, is available now. They're both on Amazon.
It said the name again, At First Light?
Yep.
At First Light. That was my first book, and it is available right now on Amazon. Second book, the one we're talking about today, Secrets of Hanalei Bay, will be available June 16th. But you can pre-order it. Do you have an intern there somewhere that could just run out and do that right now?
Yeah, no, don't.
Comes in tomorrow.
I will look those up, Spike. I'm really impressed with what you've done and knowing you for like 30 years or whatever to see this side of you with the creativity part. It's really cool, and I'm going to do everything I possibly can to promote you and your books.
Ditto. I appreciate that, John, and vice versa. I love your book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Keep it going, and please keep in touch with what you got going on, okay, Spike?
Will do. Awesome. Thank you.
And hey, Spike, kick around the idea of some of a young sportscaster who doesn't know what he's doing in a hardware store and guiding him, okay?
And ends up doing radio.
Spike Pedersen, great author. Thank you so much, my friend. Great talking to you.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Sean Katzbeck in the house. Back up this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Summer, summer, summer. Yep, your last chance to text in to win the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. This hour's keyword is TAN, T-A-N, TAN. Got the Civic Media app, choose your station, ISS or GBW. Text the word TAN right now for your shot to win $100 this hour. And also go into the drawing for the trips, Wisconsin Dells Area Vacation or Door County Vacation. You could win with John Mino and Jim Schmidt. You've got 7 minutes, so get that in before 8 o'clock.
Hey, welcome back. I'm the mayor here. One of our very special guests, Sean Katzbeck from Marinette, and Todd is not happy with him.
Sean, listen, dude, I love you. Yeah, we've known each other a long time.
Yes, yep.
Let me tell you a story about John Mino. Earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, John brought a coffee cup down from his apartment up in the building.
Okay.
And he made a cup of coffee out in the hallway. The coffee cup that he brought in was smaller than the throwaway cups that we have.
Who would have known that a coffee cup, you know, that this would hold more than a regular coffee cup? Yeah. You'd never know that, right?
No.
By looking at it.
It overflowed all over the place, so I had to clean that up. And then when we finally got that cleaned up, he put his creamer in, and from the coffee pot to the garbage can, there were little droplets of creamer, so I had to clean that up. And now you brought in, again, you always bring in treats. He's in here eating some...
It's a raspberry turnover.
Yeah, raspberry turnover. I'm sitting here. He's talking to me while he's eating. Raspberry turnover all over the floor. And I said, Sean's got to get his butt in here and actually clean it up. So
it's a blood trail.
We've said he could never do a crime because the cops could follow him. Yeah,
so many clues.
Yeah. World's dumbest criminals.
There you go.
It's true. It's true. But those things are so good. Where do you get those from?
So they come from Bonduelle. Okay. I know where they come from because it's I think it's the Yoder Bakery that's over there, and but they're right as you come off 41.
Okay.
The gas station there.
Okay.
Green Bay in Howard.
Wow. Yeah. Those are it's so fresh there for just.
Oh, they do it every because they drop them off. They weren't like the last time I didn't bring any because they weren't there. That's how fresh they are. So they must have just dropped them off.
They're awesome. Phenomenal.
We got to make sure we schedule it this time then.
There you go.
Well, first thing we want to do is talk to you. How did it go with the races?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It was off the hook.
The boat races.
Yeah, it was great.
Phenomenal.
You know, it's always hard to tell people-wise just because it's stretched out over a whole street. But I would say well over 2,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
first
awesome.
Time event.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, literally food vendors were leaving to go get more food to come back because they were running out. So that's always a good
sign. Great problem to have.
And that's always a good judge to talk to the vendors. Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody talks to the customers, which you want to do that, but boy, those vendors, they'll tell you how it was. And if they're replenishing, that's great.
Yeah. Sunday was slower because of the rain. But then what I was surprised with, I was telling Todd that after the rain stopped, which was 2 o'clock, so by then you're on a Sunday, crowds came out.
Came back?
Yeah. So it was really
How did the racers enjoy it?
The racers supposedly loved it.
Great.
They in fact, I got a phone call from one of the racers saying we loved this, and because the way we set it up, the course was set up so that the straightaway was where the crowd was. Mm-hmm. So they could really just lean into it. And so I would be surprised. They said like 105 was their top end. Wow. It seemed faster. I mean, you know, it's always hard to judge once again with speed, but some of them were cooking.
Well, I'll tell you one. We've talked about this before. First time events can be so difficult because you don't have that built in whatever. So you guys to pull that off in your first one to be this successful. Congratulations to you guys.
Thanks. You know, we learned some things that we'll have next year. We need porta potties throughout, you know, stuff like that. That it's more logistical and more set up stuff, but we weren't sure. So, you know, you try to measure and say, okay, this, but yeah, it was awesome. Really good.
Good for you.
And they said they want to come back.
Well, that's good because, you know, not every first event comes back. So that's nice because now you're going to build on this and you're going to be known as the place for this speedboat.
That's the idea.
Yeah, that's awesome, Sean. Congratulations. Yep. That's great.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about something else here with your buddy here, Kelly Vandermuse, Independence Day Hotel. We're going to do that. We're going to send it to a break. We'll be doing that. But one other last quick question though, as far as like with the food vendors. Who'd you have, the food truck size? We're big food truck fans here.
We are. So we had Tasty Traveler, which does smash burgers.
Oh,
love it.
Phenomenal smash burgers. Then we also had Thai Chef's Layers of Flavor. They do barbecue.
Okay.
So they had barbecue.
All right.
And then we had... a couple of one was a Thai fusion, so you know, crab ragoons, egg rolls, stuff like that, and then also another one, Hong Kong buffet, I think, or Hong Kong.
Well, a lot of Asian food.
I was shocked. So I was pleased. I wanted to get one Asian food vendor in, you know, because I thought that's a nice change. And we ended up getting two, which was great. And then we had an ice cream. One was ice cream and stuff like that, and another one was just lemonade.
Wow. And people brought their own chairs.
Yes.
John, we got to bring those chairs, those TV chairs where you put the thing on top so we can put all that food.
Those are
there
cool.
you go.
It just sounds like a great event.
Oh, it was in the day on Saturday was just perfect. It was in the mid-70s. It was great.
That's great.
How did the lady that we had on here, how did she do?
Oh, she took second.
Okay. Oh, good.
So how
that feels.
Now.
Wow.
We do.
That's great. It was really kind of cool. How they do it is they run three different heats and they add up their points.
Oh.
So first place got like 800, second place 600, 400, like that all the way down. And then, so you could end up in third the first race and
still win.
First in the second and first in the,
Great, cool. great. Well, I sure hope it's back next year. Speedboat races on the river in Marinette.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Hey, did anybody go across the street to, you know?
Yeah, I think so.
He thinks so.
The hippie lettuce.
I heard a little lettuce over there. We got to set our quick break. Sean Kasbeck, Kelly Vandermuse from Marinette. We got another great event coming up. We'll talk about it as soon as we come back.
We have a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Letting the days go by. Let the water hold me down.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.